Time for our buddy, Stephen Brunt.
Morning, Stephen.
There's two things we can talk about. We can talk about the Leafs, but I'd rather talk about the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
We're living it, and sometimes when you're in the middle of something, you appreciate how great it is, and then maybe it fades into the background. I feel like we don't appreciate how historic what we're watching is. Like, oh, it's a plucky little story and all of this, but it's not a coincidence. They did it all regular season, and now they've swept around number one, and they're playing the Sharks, and I think I will pick them to beat the Sharks in round two. Like, it's really an amazing sporting feat that we're watching right now.
Well, we've all kind of spent the last, like 7 months or whatever it is, waiting for this thing to end, right? And saying, wow, that's it, that's going to end next week. Or that's going to end here. Or, yeah, they'll be fine that long, but that they can't do that. Or the latest version of that would be, well, now they're in the playoffs against not a great Kings team, but a Kings team with some great players and some great experience. And, you know, they have a hard time scoring goals. But if you looked at the expert prognostications going into that series, and there's a lot, big difference between those two teams in the regular season. More than half the people who picked that series picked the Kings to win. And because they still can't believe it, I think that's what they don't believe. What's in front of their eyes, they don't believe the evidence. And I'm one of them. I have no rational explanation for what's happened here, except that that's a really, really good hockey team full of guys. You know, and again, it's not. I know the expansion draft was set up to allow them to be competitive, and I know they don't have, you know, the kind of cap issues that other teams have to deal with, and there are reasons why they should, you know, there are reasons why they could have been and should have been respectable this year. That part's rational, right? That they would not be one of those really terrible, god-awful, win-9-games kind of expansion teams, because the system if you pay $500 million, you should get more. But there's nothing to explain this. And that's kind of great. In a world where we analyze and overanalyze and break down and take it down to numbers and analytics. Again, I'm not an anti-analytics guy, but I'm just that's how we do stuff, right? We try and turn the sometimes irrational aspects of sport, the unpredictable aspects of sport. We try and make them as predictable as possible, or find a way to predict them, find a way to understand what we're seeing, so that you say, well, it may not look like this, but if you actually look at puck possession statistics, this is actually a better team than you think it is. So that we do that in all sports now, right? You're trying to drill down and drill down and come up with a reason, kind of a rational reason why something that's happening is something unexpected might happen. But the beauty of sport is that there is still an irrational aspect to it. It turns out even over the course of a season that you can put together component parts that should not add up to what this team has added up to, and have something kind of magical happen. And, I know we don't talk soccer ever, but the only point of comparison I have for this is Leicester City won the Premier League, 2 years ago, three years ago? That's impossible, right? That one of those mega zillion-dollar teams over there, one of those sides, is always going to win it, and they always do, because money gets you the best players, and you can spend as much as you want. So Man City, Man United, Chelsea, one of those teams is going to win the Premiership every year, and they do, except for 1 year. And they played it out the whole season. It's a true test. You play every other team to end. People did the same thing where they said, "Well, that'll end by Christmas." Just wait till they play so and so, and it never ended. And it was kind of like they're now kind of middle of the tables, and they're just a good team, but not a great team. But for 1 year, it was magical, and that's kind of what this reminds me of. Because I don't know that there's if there was a formula, everybody would do it. I talked to Elliot about this. Elliot's on with you guys all the time, and he said, well, maybe these are guys who were cast offs from other teams. That there's a kind of a bonding thing that, but if you could, like, the world is full of cast offs in all aspects of life. There's people who don't make the grade. And if you could turn that into something tremendous and better than the select few, everybody would do it.
Well, because I was thinking about
I love it, and I have no idea why.
I was thinking about that the other day. The San Jose Sharks were a bunch of cast-offs, and they were one of the worst teams in NHL history in their first year. Yeah. Like, it was incredibly, incredibly bad. But Warner, you're a big believer in the chemistry and just all of what's going on there. You can see that they have a belief system in themselves and their coach.
They've got a simple system that they play. They just roll. Everyone's into it. I went through it with Florida. It was their third year in existence. And I mean, you were talking about England leaving the parking lot the other day.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that clip. England is leaving the parking lot of their practice facility to go get on the airplane for games 3 and 4 in Los Angeles. And it was a mob scene. People were lined up down the sidewalk for, what, like a block. It was crazy.
And that's what we had in Florida. The fans just got behind it, the year of the rat. And we used to have to sign, and Scroodland used to make us. You signed everyone's autograph. And there was an hour to an hour and a half of signing autographs after every practice in game. Like, it was... Yeah. It was crazy. The radio stations were there pumping music, and like, it was a party outside the practice facility.
But that swept, you know, because you think of, look, I always think of professional athletes, and I understand there's an emotional component to it, but I always think guys are, you know, that they're kind of beyond that. That, you know, they've been signing autographs since they were 14 years old, and that the outside stuff, you know, the arena noise and all that stuff, that we sometimes on the outside make too much of that. But, you know, you think a team can get swept along to a degree?
I think they pick up a great energy from that. Yeah. I do. I really do. And we went to the rink in T-Mobile Arena, and it is an energetic building. Like, they're putting on a show. It's loud. The fans are into it. They don't maybe know what's going on, but they're pumped.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there is an energy to it. When you're driving around and going to the rink, and there's people standing outside the rink at 3 in the afternoon, there's an energy there, and it's a vibe that you carry with you.
And it's amazing that's happened in Las Vegas too, isn't it? Like, you think, one of the things, you know, if we were talking about this before the season, you know, I think one of the questions would be, okay, who's going to be in the stands there? You know, how many of those people are going to be cheering for the visiting team? You know, how many of the people just passing through Las Vegas, and taking a couple of hours off from gambling? You know, because the community there is, you know, it's a big city. You guys know that, right? But it's always kind of hard to, when you know, kind of try and figure out what is Las Vegas once you get off the strip, and who are these people, and, you know, kind of what holds that town together, because it's transient. You know, it's a transient town, and, you know, people work at all hours, and, you know, it's a very strange place. It's not like anywhere else on Earth. It's kind of an unreal place. So, you know, what would it, you know, the idea of Vegas, Las Vegas rallying around something, rallying around us, you know, they obviously never had, aside from their brief exposure to the Canadian Football League, they haven't had a team like this. But, you know, if this was happening in, you know, Kansas City or somewhere where you would say, okay, that's an identifiable place, and, you know, it's a novelty, and they haven't won in a while or whatever, you know, I think none of us quite knew what Las Vegas was as a sports town. And it's turned into this kind of giddy, old-fashioned, wide-eyed, you know, cynicism-free. Cynicism-free Las Vegas. You know, in a lot of ways, the most cynical place on Earth, because it's about taking money from people. That's turned into kind of the fairy tale hockey home. The fairy tale team and the kind of the fairy tale scenario. I would not have bet on that. I would not have bet a nickel on that.
Well, a lot of they had that tragedy at the start of the year that I think that, I don't know if galvanized is the right word, but it brought everyone together, and that was the one place. You know, without the hockey team, is there a place for that community to go
and bond together?
You know what I mean? They did a great job of that when England did that speech. All that stuff was really well done.
Yeah.
And it is a place where I think people went and, call it mourned or bonded or whatever you want, but it was a place for people to go and share.
Yeah, you're you know, and again, those are all things I would resist, except I think you're right, you know, that did happen. But even that should have worn off, right? You know, like some of this stuff, they should have turned into a pumpkin in December, right? They should have come back to Earth, There should have been, and things should have normalized there.
Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury missed about a month. Yep. They brought in their fifth stringer from
Dylan
junior hockey.
Ferguson.
Still winning.
Yeah, there's all those things that, again, should have just brought it back to the norm, you know, regressing to the norm. And it hasn't, you know, and I guess this is the norm. And, you know, look, there's some pretty big hurdles in the West. Like, there's not a lot of gimmies there, so they're going to have to win two tough rounds to get to the Stanley Cup, and then, you know, obviously have to beat somebody really good coming out of the East. But I would not stand up and be first in line to say they're not going to do it. This is possible, and it would be one of the greatest sports stories ever, of, you know, anywhere, any sport, any time. That would be one of the greatest stories in history.
How is the Leafs loss going to go? Because they're down 3-1 going back to Boston, who has been phenomenal. They look like a machine at this point.
Yeah.
They were kind of a popular underdog, if I'm correct. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, Boston's really good. You know, Boston might win the Stanley Cup, so that's part of it, right? They're really, and even without Bergeron last night, they're really good. They're tough and they're skilled, and their goaltender's really good. And Char's playing like he's 24. You know, he's 24. He doesn't have the same jump, but he's so smart. So they're really good, and they're gonna be a tough out. So they're better. They're better than the Leafs, and you probably knew that going in. You know, they were better in the standings, and the Leafs is kind of a live dog. That's about right. I think the problem for Leafs fans right now is that the failure here is to a degree that, you know, they were in that game last night, but misplayed a couple of, you know, a couple of bad pinches, a couple of misplayed 2-on-1s. Anderson gave up a soft goal on the first goal. But the biggest problem they're having right now is that Austin Matthews has been bad. You know, he's been invisible. And he's the guy. Now, he's super young still, and it's early in his career. But the Bruins have just taken him out. They've erased him and erased Nylander and, you know, erased that line. And that's the part that's going to be hard to swallow, is that they're going to lose to a better team, and I think everybody kind of gets that. And that was always a possibility going in here. And it's not like there hasn't been some, you know, there's some fight. Like, they, again, a couple of breaks last night, they could have won that game. But they have to be, everybody understands, I think, for them to beat Boston, they have to be just about perfect. You know, it's going to be a high wire act for them to, and if they're anything less than that, they're going to lose, because Boston's that good. But I think the failure of Austin Matthews in this series, that's going to be a tough one over the summer for folks, because, you know, then that sets up the whole, you know, Austin Matthews, whatever he does in the regular season, you got to prove you can play in the playoffs. And you got to prove it when, you know, they put their best guy against you, or they put their best checking line against you, and they set out to neutralize you, and you got to fight through it because it's not like the regular season. And that's going to be, you know, Austin Matthews is going to hear a lot of that. And that will be the entire conversation. Like, they'll be talking about them getting some talent on defense. They need another, well, everybody does, right? They need an elite guy. But I say that the whole thing around Matthews will be, and that'll be kind of uncomfortable. You know, he's their superstar. He's the anointed one. Now what he turns into, through, you know, over the course of his career, obviously you don't know, but he's shown signs of being a guy who can dominate games. But, you know, if you go back and watch that game last night, try and find him. He was, and, you know, and you can see him, you can see the frustration with him, you can see the fact that he's struggling, you know, and probably expected to be able to do more in this situation, and it's like a big kind of cold slap in the face for him. And that will be, if they bow out meekly in five, which is pretty likely, I think that'll be the story.
Well, he's eligible for his second contract as of July 1.
Yep.
I don't know where that files in. You got a full year. He's an RFA, whatever. Like, what happens this offseason? A wise man once told me, be weary an ugly playoff loss, because teams can overreact.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think this kid is the real thing. And, you know, there's nothing that tells me he's not the real thing. And that this would be, you know, Babcock has talked about, you know, well, he's kind of, I think he's been trying to play with expectations, but he has talked about the fact that sometimes players and sometimes teams have to go through this in order to get better, that, you know, that you don't necessarily just roar through the playoffs after roaring through a regular season. That's, you know, that you saw that with his Detroit teams, you know, that there were some setbacks first. And I think he's probably right. You know, I still think their core of young forwards is really, really good. And I know I would go to the bank on that, starting with Matthews. But they've learned a lesson here, you know. I don't think they're going to do what Edmonton did, you know, which is, you know, fall off a cliff after, you know, they didn't have a playoff run like Edmonton did, but, you know, fall off a cliff and have to reset. But yeah, there's going to be. I would still invest in Austin Matthews' futures. I still think he's going to be a great player. I'm not sure what kind of great player he's going to be, but you know, you're not going to stumble on someone better than him. You know, your lot is cast with him. So yeah, I would. When the time comes to lock him up, you lock him up.
Home from the Dominican. What's happening for the next few days for you?
Well, you know, it's. I believe the snow is going to start to melt here tomorrow. So it's actually, I think fishing season starts.
Ooh.
Is it this weekend or the weekend after? I'm not even thinking about it because the rivers are at flood stage and there's snow on the ground. So I may get my fishing gear out, though, and start, you know, messing around, tying leaders or something.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, that may make me feel like spring is here.
Warner's here. He's got a what's up?
Are you coming to BC or not?
Well, it's going to be tricky, man. I'll be in Newfoundland then.
Well, we'll come there.
Just a short flight.
You guys can come to Newfoundland.
Open invite?
I got a little cabin on the back. You can all stay together like a boys club.
It's a casita.
That sounds great.
It sounds less interesting.
We can all stay together in a little shack.
It'll smell good for sure.
Yeah. Hey, have a great weekend, Steve. We'll talk Tuesday.